Good afternoon. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This story in John 11 that we keep hanging out in, there's so much here, and there always will be. That's the cool thing about the Bible. It's like there can be, you can have your favorite book, like secular book, but eventually you're not going to want to just keep reading it after 5,000 times. But if you read the Bible 5,000 times, you want to read it 15,000 times. And so these chapters, we get stuck there because they never stop talking. It's like every time you listen to the recording, you hear God say something totally different. But I want to talk a little bit about Mary, because Mary is sort of a dominant figure in this chapter 11 and chapter 12, but there's something that kind of stunned me in my time with the Lord. So let me just remind you of a few things it says about her and how what the Holy Spirit has to say. In chapter 11, when the two sisters, Martha and Mary, sent a messenger to inform Jesus and to fetch him to come and heal their brother, the Holy Spirit feels compelled. In verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Now, Martha, and he says later, he says, "For Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." But there's nothing here about Martha, like there's no extra information about Martha. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with Martha, but the Holy Spirit just sort of wants to point out the fact this is the Mary that you find back in Luke chapter 7, that in her first encounter with Jesus, he ends up at his feet, wiping his feet with her hair and her tears and anointing them with the spikenard oil, this very expensive spikenard oil. And that's, again, the place where she was a prostitute. And so the Pharisees got really offended that Jesus was allowing her to do this. And Jesus basically describes the fact she's doing this because she's fallen in love. And when you're forgiven much, you love much. And in his presence, she had encountered his love and his forgiveness and acceptance. And it caused her just to not care how she looked or what anybody around her thought. She was with a group of Pharisees as a prostitute. That's not where you want to be. And yet she didn't care because she was just extravagantly worshiping him, loving on him. And so he just reminds us, the Holy Spirit in the story, that this is that Mary. And that was a pretty big deal. Now you understand that that happened with a group of Pharisees. And so the story got out. When Jesus shows up in chapter 11, all these Jews that are hanging around, that are with them, mourning with them, they knew the story about Mary and the fact that she had, in front of a bunch of Pharisees, had been a prostitute. And they knew her story, that she had met this Jesus and had changed her life radically. But in front of all these Pharisees, she had done this extravagant, embarrassing, but passionate act. So that's out there, it's known. In verse, when Jesus gets there to Bethany, it says, "Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. And Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary still sat in the house. And Martha, therefore, said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Now, then she next thing she says, "And I know that whatever you ask of God, even now, God will give you." So she has this love for him. Martha does. But we've remarked about this before, that there's something going on with Mary, that where when they heard that Jesus was coming, Martha gets up and goes to meet him, but Mary stays in the house. Now, I don't know what that's all about. I mean, it's significant that the Holy Spirit puts that there. And so I don't know whether it's because she was confused or because maybe she was hurt. Maybe she even felt rejected, like whatever. But it wasn't a moment, a good moment for her. It's not about it making her look bad. It just wasn't a good moment for her because something was wrong. So Martha has this conversation with Jesus, and then when they finish, Martha feels compelled to go back to the house where she had been. And she goes back, and she, in verse 28, says, "And when she had said this to Jesus, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. Now, I think that says to me, when the result of that, it says when she heard it, she rose quickly and was coming to Jesus, like she ran to him. Now, at first she didn't go to him, because I believe that she was hurt with him. He had not done things the way that she thought he was going to do them or should do them. And so she was hurt. But she wasn't just hurt, she was hurt with him. When we get hurt or upset about things, we're not just hurt with the things, we're hurt with him, because he orders our steps. That's why he says, give thanks in all things, not because God causes everything, but he's at least in the midst of everything, causing it to work together for good. But when she hears Mary say, he's calling for you, and so evidently that happened. Jesus was asking her, though it's not recorded, where's Mary? Tell Mary to come. And when she heard it, it sort of broke the ice that he's not mad at me or he hasn't rejected me or whatever. But she gets up and runs to him. And when she sees him, she got up and rose quickly. And it says in verse 32, and therefore when Mary came where Jesus was and she saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, and the same thing. And when Jesus saw her wailing, the word there is wailing. Then we have no place where it talks about Martha wailing. Though it doesn't mean that she wasn't. But here's Mary openly wailing. And the Jews who came with her were also wailing. Jesus, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And the result was, verse 35, he wept. Now in chapter 12, verse 1, the very next chapter, there were 6 days before the Passover, just a few days after this event where Lazarus was raised. The Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him supper there, and Martha was serving. But Mary was one of those, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Martha therefore took a pound of very costly perfume, of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of her worship. But Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And when he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, because he was a thief, and he had the money, and he used to pilfer for what was put in it. And Jesus therefore said, let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. So here we have Martha serving. Sounds like Luke chapter 10, when Jesus is in their home and Martha serving, but Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, beholding him, listening to his voice. And Jesus says, because Martha complained to him. Remember that story? Martha complained, why isn't she helping me? Tell her to help me. And Jesus said, Mary's chosen the better part, and it won't be taken away from her. This one thing she should do. And so she's at his feet, listening to him, beholding his face. When she comes to him, runs to him in chapter 11, after Mary says, he's calling you, she runs to him, and the first thing she does is fall at his feet. When Jesus first met her, and it's remembered that, that's remembered here in chapter 11, the first thing she did was fall at his feet. In chapter 12, when Martha's serving, Mary is again at his feet, washing his feet on her hands and knees with the spikenard oil. And then in Mark chapter 14, we find her once again for the third time, but this time breaking the oil, the alabaster vial, pouring over his head and then at his feet again. And then in John chapter 20, when Jesus reveals himself to her first in the resurrection, she falls at his feet and he says, let go of me, for I've not yet been glorified. Every time you see Mary in scripture, she's at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 7, in John chapter 12, and Mark chapter 14, and Luke chapter 10, there were people around, it didn't matter to her. The one who'd been forgiven much, loved much. And there's an emphasis in that story. But the interesting thing to me is that it says, the verse that Bracken read, even though it said earlier that many of the Jews came there, a lot of Jews, to console Martha and Mary. After Lazarus was raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit says this, many therefore the Jews who had come to Mary and beheld what Jesus had done, believed in him. Didn't say he came to Mary and Martha, but came to Mary. Many of the Jews who had come to Mary, when they saw what Jesus did, believed in Jesus. There's something about a person who's openly in love with Jesus. who's given her whole heart or given your whole heart to him. And without any shame or embarrassment, you openly love him. No matter how much what it makes you look like, you can't hold it back. Again, Jesus chose to reveal himself to her first in resurrection. Why? That was to honor her and how much she loved him. Did Martha love him? Yes. But not in the way that Mary did, because there was something Mary knew in her encounters with him that Martha didn't get. That what he's worthy of is my worship. What he's worthy of is my open love. What he's worthy of is my every affection. And no matter what it costs me, no matter what it looks like to other people. See, that becomes a powerful testimony. Now, Mary blew it in chapter 11. Something wasn't right. She stayed behind, and it took Jesus asking for her. Here's the thing I love about it is, Jesus wasn't mad at her. He didn't say, why did you stay behind? Who do you think you are being offended with me? So even though she wasn't perfect and her love wasn't perfect, she had a perfect heart toward him. And that perfect heart, it says that people came to be with Mary. They stayed behind in the house with Mary when Martha went to go see Jesus. And they were weeping and wailing with Mary. Why? Because of her testimony. They knew this was the one who had done that thing in front of the Pharisees. They had known her as a prostitute, and she was a totally different person. Her love for Jesus was famous. Her changed life was famous. Her testimony was profound. And even though her walk wasn't perfect, because she did get hurt with him and get offended with him or whatever, she got confused, the testimony of a heart of someone who's lovesick for Jesus is attractive. And that's why the Holy Spirit says, and many of the Jews who had come to Mary, those are the ones who believed when they saw the miracle. Because the next part of the verse says, but there were other Jews that didn't believe when they went and reported what happened to the Pharisees. It was the ones who came to see Mary that believed. It wasn't just Lazarus being raised from the dead. There were Jews there that saw him being raised from the dead and didn't believe. They probably walked away with some kind of explanation or excuse or whatever. But when the ones who came to see Mary, when they saw Lazarus come out of the tomb, they looked at Lazarus and looked at Mary and looked at Lazarus and looked at Mary, the one who had been a prostitute, the one who was the shame of the community for years. And it wasn't just the resurrection of Lazarus, but it was Mary, who was always at the feet of Jesus, that caused them to believe. What do you have to be to impact people? You got to learn how to do this and learn how to say this thing or do that, take some course in this or that or the other. No, you just have to love him with all your heart. You have to be a radical, lovesick worshiper of Jesus. Not perfect, but with a perfect heart. And if you do, if you are that person, the testimony of your love for Christ and the evidence of your changed life will cause people to believe, will change the lives of those around you. I just think that's a powerful thing. And it's so cool the Lord put that little story in there. And see, I've read through that so many times over the years. I saw it this morning. And those who came to Mary were the ones who believed. Wow. The testimony of a lovesick heart. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be that one. Years ago, we used to have signs up that says the author scripture from John 19. And Mother Teresa had this encounter with the Lord. And the Lord asked her that question, the thirsting heart of Jesus, not just for our wholeness and healing, but the thirsting heart of Jesus for humanity to love him, to love God. And the question was, will you be that one? And the Lord just has been revisiting me with that lately. Will I be that one that will love him like that? Because the testimony of that, now it's not just the testimony of people who hoot and holler and shout, but it's the testimony of that and the changed life that that represents. That's the greatest witness of all. Okay, let's stand together.